Let's begin again. We'll read our text of scriptures from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Because we are rounding off, I'd like to say this to us again. What we are standing against are the schemes of the devil. The devil doesn't have power like a lot of people try to make it appear as it does. He doesn't. What the devil uses against us are tricks and devices. That is, the way it is that he knows he can't beat you. So he tries to bait and trick you into the place where he will be able to take advantage of you. Now that is very important. Now, so he said, therefore, we should put on the armor of God so that we can stand against those tricks or the schemes of the devil. Let me emphasize again, you can never, it is not possible to be as smart, now humanly speaking now, as the devil is. That is not possible. The only thing you can use against him is the full armor of God. Not a partial one, but the full armor of God. Now the reason he said is because we're not struggling against people, but against spiritual forces. I'm jumping now. And they said, therefore, let us take off this full armor, because a day is going to come, which is the evil day. All right, and these are the things that make up the armor of God. We have to guard our loins, he said, with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have to have a readiness to declare the gospel of peace as our preparation as the preparation for our feet. And then we use the shield of faith to quench all the thoughts that Satan may try to put into our hearts, trying to scare us. Now, having done all of this, he said, we take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, please, my emphasis for today, which I began some time ago, is verse 18. He said, from verse 17, he said, we take up the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And then with all prayer and petition, we pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, we are on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, there's something I began to say. I will explain what this is, this matter of prayer. We're going to get out there today. And this might be, well, I've been saying that for the last two meetings now. That should be the end. I'm not going to bring everything to a close. Please, this is what I want to explain. It's very important. We've been talking about it for some time. The issue of the role of the Word of God. Last time we read from the story, from Judges chapter 11, the story of Jephthah. And Jephthah explained to the Ammonites that whatever your God gives to you, you keep. This is a summary of it. That the job here is that we are supposed to take whatever it is that God has given to us. All right? And that's what we are discussing. That first and foremost, we must know what it is that God gave to us. We're not just going to honor our desires. And please let me explain that. You see, that's one mistake we make when we don't understand truth. That's concerning the gospel of faith. When we're trying to operate faith. Faith is not your desires. Faith is not how to get your own desires met. The first thing about faith is to discover the word of God and make your desires merge with that of God. Do you get my point? You see, some of the things we don't understand when we are studying the word of God is that we just take a scripture, all right, and start quoting it. That whatever I desire, I can believe. No, Jesus said something there. Whatever you desire, if you can believe. Now, I have explained that. That's what I discussed in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Is if you can believe. Now, but what I want to bring out is that when Jesus will be speaking, please bear this in mind, he was speaking to his disciples. I don't know whether you follow what I'm going to explain. Those teachings were for what? His disciples. They were not teachings that he said whosoever, like we say, he just said whosoever, whatsoever, wherever. Don't forget, when he was speaking, he was in a particular context, and these were his disciples. And bring out something here. Therefore, he assumes, and there are things that are implicit in certain statements, that these people know God. Do you get my point? Without having to say it, he knew that they were not desiring the death of their friends or their enemies, and said that if I believe that he will die, he will die. Do you get my point? No matter what his friends and family believe, what if I can believe that he will die, then he will die. He doesn't expect that they are going to wake up in the morning using the power of their faith against their enemies. In fact, Peter and co. were angry. And because Jesus had taught them certain things, they said, let's call down fire upon this city. You know what he said to them? You don't know the kind of spirit that you have. That is, as far as he was concerned, when he would be teaching them principles, he did not expect them to be responding in anger and burning up cities. So even though we will say that we could have asked for the city to burn down, yes, it's true. But the man who taught it was teaching to people who he didn't expect would go around burning cities. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is, yes, God will honor our desires. But faith is not just about cooking up any desire. When Jesus taught us about the principle of faith by which we get our desires met, it was implicit that he was talking to disciples. Are you getting my point? People who had heard him, I'm bringing out something from that. That is, what the Lord expects is that we are tutored in the word of God. There's something that does for you. Listen, it fine-tunes even your desires. It is not everything you will continue to want if God has been speaking to you. And James and Co, who were with Jesus, and they understood the principles, they explained something to us. That if you ask amiss, he said, you don't have because you don't ask. Some say, we have asked. He said, then if you don't get it, you asked amiss because you were motivated by fleshly desires, your lusts. You were in competition. So when you asked for a particular brand of car, it wasn't because you knew anything about it. You have never driven a Hummer. Do you understand my point? You have never been inside it. You don't know the advantage of or the disadvantage. But because you believe it, you give you a status, all right, amongst your friends. You began to pray. Therefore, you didn't get anything, like James said, because it was for your lusts. It was not really out of faith. You are getting what I'm explaining? No, I'm not emphasizing something here. So faith is not just about our desires. The first thing we use faith for, all right, is to discover God. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 said it. Let me quickly get it. That he that comes to him must believe that he is. Yes, that's number one. That the first thing you use faith for, all right, is to believe, is to connect and discover God. That's the first thing you use faith for. And then once you have connected with him and discovered his person, then this is what God does. He begins. And look, it's not just one day thing. It's throughout your life. All right? Let me tell you something. Somebody asked before, what is the will of God? You know, like, let's take marriage as an example. Who should I marry? And I answered the question basically. Who should I marry? I said, the person you like. It's so simple. People can argue all kinds of arguments about it. But the baseline, all right? If you look at it well, is that who should you marry? The person that you like. It is very wrong of you to go and tell a woman that, look, actually, I don't like you. You know why I'm here? Because I was praying. The Lord revealed to me that I should marry you. Obviously, you even if God revealed it to you, you wanted to disobey God. That's why you talk to her like that. Because no same person will marry you after that one. Somebody who knows how to answer you will tell you simply, well, since it was by revelation you appeared, then I shall answer you by revelation also. So let us wait for the revelation to come. And since the revelation is not going to come, you will wait for a very long time. Now, what am I saying? Is it that it is wrong to approach somebody based on revelation? No. It's not wrong at all. It's not. But this is what God does really. What he does is to consume your will. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That is, the will of God consumes your will so that your will and that of God becomes merged into one. Do you follow the point? And then you will now like what God likes. So that if God says, go and marry this person, after a short while of working with God, even if if at the beginning it didn't seem like you liked the person, you will discover, do you follow me, that you actually like that person. I'm giving us as an example what faith does for you. In fact, let me tell this story. It will help us. I heard it from Derek Prince. Derek Prince was married twice. His first wife died. After they were married for a certain number of years, the first wife died. And then after a few years, he now remarried. Now, his own remarrying was interesting. Now, he was a very spiritual man. I mean, really profoundly spiritual man. And he married, listen to this, purely by revelation. There was a way he met the woman, all right? And one day, he had either a vision or a dream. I can't remember for sure now, right? But anyway, in the vision, he saw the woman. They had met, all right? But I think maybe one day he was praying. And God revealed to him that he wanted her to marry that other woman. So, this was about 2 years after his first wife died. The man looked and he made a statement. Look, that he told the Lord simply, why do I want to marry her? I don't love her at all. That, no, but he hardly knew her anyway. So, it wasn't like he disliked her for any reason. They hardly knew each other. But she had been listening to his messages over time, all right? You know, like many places you go to, in fact, I've met many people, they said that, I said, have we met before? They'll tell me, physically, no, but we have met several times. You know, on radio here and there, something like that, all right? His materials, you know, his materials had been flowing around and she had really been blessed by them. So, one of those days, he had a particular vision and he was kind of, what's going on here? This is a vision of the Lord, but how can I marry somebody I don't know and I really don't like? Do you understand my point? So he kept it in mind. This is the way I'm going. He said one day after I finished ministering, the lady requested to come and see her, see him about some things. So he was on the table walking when she came. And she came in, I think it was his hotel room where he was staying. And because she had a problem with her back, all right, she didn't like to sit on chairs and soft things. So she requested whether she could sit on the floor against the wall, because she had a back problem. So the man said, no problem. So she went over and sat. Now he was sitting on the table, a chair, walking on the table, where all this was going on. So as soon as she sat down, now listen to this, this really happened. And he turned to look, you know, she came to see him about something, we're going to talk a bit. So he turned to her, and that her posture, where she was seated, was exactly the image he had in that vision. Do you understand my point? And as soon as he saw it, he said it was as if somebody poured. Now, I don't know the exact words he used, but let me give it to you the way I can easily communicate it. It's as if somebody poured honey from heaven into his soul. An intense love for her just came upon him at that particular point in time. Do you understand what I mean by the will of God consuming your will? Even though God said, go and marry this woman, he heard it and kept it to himself. All right, and didn't do anything about it. After a while, this happened, and he now began to like her. And of course, they began to talk, and after some time, he proposed marriage. She accepted, and initially, his friends rejected, because he was a man of God. You know what I say? He was a man of God. He had people walking with him. And they looked and said, where did this one come from? He wants to come and marry Pastor. Better forget it, too. But after a while, they changed their minds. And all right. Now, this is the point I'm making from all of that. You see that faith, all right, is not just about desires primarily. It is first about relating with God. And the real walk with God is, what happens is that the will of God consumes your will. So when I said that, who should I marry? I said, the person that you like. Look, listen, when I make that statement, I assume that I'm talking to a serious believer. Are you getting my point? And I don't expect you to like. Now, this is not, if you like that kind of person, then you really have a problem. I don't expect you to like somebody who doesn't love the Lord. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? If I say that, I automatically believe, it's just implicit in my statement, that you are not going to like a Muslim or somebody who doesn't, I'm not saying you dislike Muslims, so you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that you are not going to desire to be joined to somebody who is not of like faith with you. Listen, if you see any man, all right, a brother, that all the sisters, all the women he claims to like are women of questionable character. You know the truth? He's not a true person himself. He's pretending. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain there? No, that's what I'm just, that's a matter of fact. Because if indeed the will of God, all right, and your own will, they are united, what do you find? After a while, you discover that it's just what God wants that you yourself will want. Like I always say, what God wants to develop in us is that we get to a particular point that if he were to go and leave, he will be able to leave us to do things and he will know, all right, that this is exactly, all right, what these people will do. There was a day, I remember one sister brought somebody to me. She needed whichever, it was her friend. I felt that her friend needed counseling. Then later on, the lady quoted something that I said while I was talking with her. I know what she said. It is not possible. Pastor Banky could not have said that. If I tell you the detail, you will laugh. You know, she claimed that I said that she knows she's not fine. It's too easy for her to get a husband. You know, I couldn't have said that. Even if I was mad, you know, there was a season I was on cocaine, maybe. Even that time, I would not. And while sniffing my cocaine, I began to drink. Even that time, I would not have said so. And in my stoned, drunken state, I fell asleep. In the dream of that particular state, I could not have said so. So when she quoted that, that's what I said. The lady said, it is impossible. Pastor Banky can't say that. And she insisted that I said so. Of course, after a while, she gave the gist to my wife and they asked me. I said, me, am I mad? How could I have said that? She said, no, that is not, it's not as if we are doubting you. But we just want to hear from your mouth that we know you enough to be able to make certain bold statements about you. Do you get my point? That's the way it is with working with God. Let me not leave the matter of faith that I'm talking about. So that's what faith is. So when we're talking about desires, desires are good. I use that marriage as an example. All right? Like somebody asked me that, I've told this joke many times. Did God speak to you about your wife, who you marry? I said yes. I said, what did he say? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, before that, I married the woman that I liked. Of course, you also heard me teach that there are certain things that I couldn't, that is, if I shared the word of God with you on a decision you want to make, and you say you understand, but you don't care, listen to me, if it has happened before, the attraction will just, that is, it will drop, you will hear it land on the floor, wah, break, right there. After that, I don't say, God, you didn't send me here. It wasn't possible for me. In fact, David said it, something like this. David said that, he said, I hate those who hate you, Lord, he was explaining. He said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. That's what David said. You understand the logic, what I'm saying is about desires now. It's not just about waking up in the morning. People say that, okay, ask God for anything, your desires. And you just cook up wild things that have no meaning. Now, you cannot make up your mind to cook up things that have meaning. It's a bit difficult. You have to be trained. It's a principle of working with God. One of the things I've learned in recent times, which I've been sharing with you here and there, is this matter of riches. It was while I was reading, I discovered that certain things we think are indicators of riches. God said they are being held by people who are indeed, that is, in truth, poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Are you getting my point? Therefore, having gotten to that particular point, understanding, it's difficult for you now to wake up and say, okay, you want to make requests of God, and all your requests will be material things, material things, material things. Even though you know with desire, with faith and your desire, you can get anything. But it gets to a point in which, having worked with God, you cannot even approach him and put certain things as a primary desire in your heart. And that also happened in the life of Solomon. When Solomon was taught by his father, you know, most of us, you know, will have thought that if God gave you the opportunity, I remember once I asked a friend of mine, if God came to you now and said, ask for anything, what will you ask for? Ah! He said, I will ask him for 2 billion naira so that I will never have to ask him for anything again. Now, 2 billion naira doesn't sound so big now, but this was 1990, thereabout, 1989-90. 2 billion naira indeed at that time was very huge. And I looked at him, I said, this is why he won't give you that offer. This is why he won't answer you. Because he hasn't asked now. You have already demonstrated that you want to get your independence from him. It's like a woman asking her husband. A man asking his wife. Maybe it's a very rich man. Tells you, I say, ask for anything and I will do for you. He say, are you serious? I say, yes. I want to stop being married to you. That was not the idea. You understand what I'm going to explain? All right, what he expected, that look, oh yeah, say you want to go all over the world, you want a new car, you want a house, you want me to buy you this, you want to do this for this person. So the man's aim, all right, what he had in mind is, will have been something else, not that kind of request. So I'm explaining the issue of desires again. And that when we have desires like that, that is, before we can, that, this is a better way to put it, before we can have those genuine desires, all right, which will be easy actually for us to believe God for, the first thing, of course, is to use our faith properly. He that comes to God must believe that he is. That is, the first thing faith does for us is to draw us closer to God. It's when we have been drawn close to him, we begin to have understanding of what life is, and then genuine desires can be birthed from inside our souls. And then our faith will be strong enough, because Jesus gave belief not just as a condition, not just as a commandment, but as a condition that if you can believe, then you will discover that indeed all things are possible to the person who believes. I hope you understand that point. Now, so why am I saying this? Which is where we started all of this. This is where I'm trying to conclude everything we have been explaining. That Jephthah said, it's what God has prepared for us, that's what we take hold of. That's what he was saying. And we said that what really is ours is described by the word of God. And last time I explained that as much as we believe that, for example, I've learned how to be independent of circumstances. I can withstand poverty and I can withstand prosperity because both of them are precious in life. Do you get my point? But even though we get to that particular state where our souls will be at rest in the midst of anything, but we understand that the plan of God for his children is not poverty. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is not about what I want in life. It is about what I have been created to do. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? It is not just about, okay, you like this, I like that. No, I was telling my wife, and some of you must have explained it, that sometimes people talk about, like a friend of mine was telling me to a senior friend, that, okay, what you need to do, you know, we're just discussing. He said, you make plans and start building house, you know, in Enugu here. I said, it's not a bad thing. I think it's a very good thing. In fact, for the kind of encounters I had with my landlord and his representative the other day, I was very, really tired of staying in his house, actually. All right? Now, so it's a very nice thing. But I said, look, listen, I am not my own. I said, before I came to Enugu, I had no plans of coming to Enugu. I came to Enugu in the year 2000, all right? By the earlier parts of 2000, let me make a long story short. Before I arrived here, a year before I arrived here, I did not know I was going to be here. At all. Now, let me explain. It had never crossed my mind in my life. I had only been to Enugu once. I don't think I loved the city when I came. I only went to campus and then went to go and visit somebody in GRE. I didn't even know my way around. It wasn't a place we had time to see. Now, so this is what I'm making. So when people bring up issues like do this, I say, look, I don't put myself under pressure because I don't even know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I can walk up here one day and announce to you that I'll check the last Saturday, maybe in November, that is the last day that these meetings we hold. So please, let's get ready for it. So you come after and say, Pastor, what's happening after that? Say, I will tell you when the time comes. November, I'll announce to you that, please, oh, the good Lord has said that by many events, that Pastor Banky is moving to Kenya. Then what will happen to the house I started? I started looking for who will buy it. You know that kind of thing. That's why I've come to believe sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you get my point? No, I'm not preparing you for my leaving Enugu. No, I have no such plans. I'm not planning to leave at all. A friend of mine called me once for information anyway. I won't tell you where. He said, Bank, have you ever thought about moving to this particular Nigerian city? I said, no. He said, anyway, write the date down. I had a dream last night. I saw you ministering from there. I said, oh boy, I have never thought about it. He said, I know. And I'm not telling you to think about it. Just remember that I told you. I said, okay. Do you follow my point? At least thank God it is not Lagos, it's not Port Harcourt. So those are two places I would have said I rebuke you for sin. Now please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. So now please let me try and sit on this mess so I can finish it. The main thing I want to say, all right? The Holy Spirit, well, we still have to obey him and say exactly what he wants us to say anyway. Now, so the point I'm making from all of these things is this. When we're talking about desire, we match our hearts, our lives with God. So when I tell people, okay, this point I was saying, I said, I'm not my own. That's what I'm trying to say in all of this. So that when we'll be discussing something, I said, look, I may have wanted to do this. That's what I was trying to explain. But I am not my own. When I say I'm not my own, my wife understands. It means that where I will be in 10 years' time, I can't even tell you today. I can't. So when you say make a desire, look, make a request based upon what I will ask you. Look, because you can say, God, anything you want. It's just one request. It's okay, I want all the houses between here and the government house. God, no problem. You can have it. Then 2 days after, I said, Jay, you have your house now. Are you happy? He said, yes. Now, do you mind packing and following me to the next place of assignment? Now, because I understand that such things can happen, all right, my desires are not locked to certain, you know, things like that, to things like that. They are not. I know the kind of thing I like. Like I told you, I like space. You understand what I mean? Space. Plenty of it. If I was an American, I would live in Texas. Plenty of space. That's just the kind of person that I am. So I know I've told the Lord, wherever it is we are going in this life, please, oh, my house must have at least 10,000 square meters around it. All this one of move one car, shift to this side so that another car can drive by. I said, it's just temporary. Dear Lord, you know me. When my children want to give, if you want to come and visit my kids, they will tell you that once you enter the first road on the right, yeah, that bungalow is mine. That's the kind of, and it's one compound. One bungalow, I say, yes, my dad lives in the next one. But because when I became this particular age, he said I could move over and start staying there. So I start getting ready to, you know, leave the house. He said, hey, are you serious? And then when the person enters, he said, that house, what is there? He said, oh, that's our games room. That's the games house. So if you go in there, that's where my dad's gym is. My mom's treadmill is on this side. You know, that kind of thing. Look, that's the kind of thing that I like. But whether it's in Botswana or in Enugu, I don't know. Do you get my point? What am I trying to explain? That, see, the first thing we do with our faith is to get to know God and understand the will of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let's quickly read something. Romans chapter 12. So when we're talking about Christian warfare, there's a reason why there's a way by which you connect this. The book of Romans chapter 12. It said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What I want to bring out from there is this issue of being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will understand what the will of God is. That's what I'm bringing out from there. That it is as you are transformed with God's word that renews your mind, then your desires will come forth. Do you get my point? In agreement with that which is of God. And listen, that is when God supplies great faith into your heart to sustain your ability to bring forth that desire into life. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Now, so what is the lesson that we have been on, I've been trying to explain? And that is the importance of a studious life in the life of the Christian. Because the problem we have, you know, when we started all of these things, I said, why am I doing this series, Christian warfare? One of the things I said is very important is that so that Christians will learn not to waste their energies. It's very important. So that you would not start fighting, assuming you are the people of Israel now, you start fighting a battle that is not yours. You go and start contending with the Ammonites for their land when God said you couldn't have it. Are you getting the point? You know, because if we don't understand the word of God, what do? We start claiming Goshen, which is in Egypt. A lot of people, I'm sorry to say, who go for prayer meetings, when we are more interested in praying just to get results without being interested in discovering and knowing the ways of God and consequently the specific will of God for our lives, what we do is that we spend a lot of time claiming Goshen and the land of the Ammonites, as we were Israelites, when God has said simply, you have to leave Egypt. No matter how good Goshen is, it is not the place I want you to be in. Sometimes people are kicked out of places. They are Goshens. Now, don't forget, Goshen was a good place. When it was given to the children of Israel, it was a beautiful land. I hope you know that. But the time came that they had to leave. Now, what I'm saying is important. So, sometimes when people, by events, God wants to move them out of their Goshen into their promised land, then they go down to prayer meetings and they start praying. In Jesus' name, we will never leave. In Jesus' name, we will never leave. And the more they pray, the more they are praying out of the will of God. But if they are bothered, do you understand, to settle down to pray, say, God, what exactly is your will? God will say, forget Goshen. We are going to a promised land. Yes, you will pass through a wilderness to get down to the promised land, but Goshen is most certainly not my will for you. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because we read one part, the end part we read, that Ephesians chapter 6, talking about with all prayer, how you will use the weapons of our warfare. Now, there's a scripture I want to read quickly to explain this thing further. Quickly, let's open to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. This is what I want. That's the most important thing we should get. What we are going to in all of these things. Because we must know what to fight for and how to fight it. Warring effectively. This is how prayer works. I said the word of God has described what is yours, what you can have. We are not operating by our own fleshly desires. Let me just say that again. Because a lot of the desires that people have are generated. You know, desires come from places. What I mean is this. Like I said before, most people who wanted to own a Hummer had never been inside one. They don't even think it is fine. Do you understand? They don't even think it's fine. All they know is that everybody talks about it. You understand what I mean? Everybody talks about it. I remember one day somebody was preaching and he was describing some things. A candlelight dinner. And people were saying, whoo, whoo, whoo. I said, look at all of them. They are Nigerians. They have never been to a candlelight dinner in their life. And they were shouting. Breakfast in bed, you know? Trying to talk about how one man spoiled his wife, you know? Breakfast in bed. I said, you don't want your breakfast in bed. Let's tell the truth. You want to get up, go and brush first. You don't know how to eat without getting up. You don't feel pampered that they brought your breakfast while you were still sleeping. You don't feel it. Breakfast on the dining table is more glamorous and glorious. But why were people shouting? Because they had read all kinds of romance novels. And they had told them, they have watched movies. And this is a sign of a man loving his wife. Now, I'm bringing up something. Desires come from places. There are things that are basic, you know, basic. You want food, you want raiment. Some things are basic. But what kind of raiment do you want? That's another thing. Like I always say jokingly, that when you are going on the road and you see a woman wearing cloth with no fit on, you wonder whether she get mirror for house. Believe me, she has. But when she's looking to the mirror, she's not seeing herself, she sees Beyonce. So see, all the one you have seen is your problem. She's not seeing herself. She's seeing something else. So if you say, ask for any cloth, all she wants is the one she saw on Beyonce. She says, it doesn't fit her. It doesn't matter. No, please. It's very important because the Bible says that you must be careful that you don't spend your energy on that which does not satisfy. A lot of people are pursuing things that are not. Look, they will get there. They will find it. The things are not real. And they will say vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. Many people want to die to go to America. Let them get there. They will beg to come back home. I'm telling you, many, many, many will beg to come back home. Because sometimes people paint pictures for them of things that are not real. And they think that you just get to America. In fact, Chiki told me something that some people actually think that when you get there, you go and register your name. And they will pay you until you find a job. Hey, who are you? Why should they give you anything? Even those who are currently on on welfare, they have a specific number of months that you can be on welfare. You think you'll be on welfare for life in America? Forget. That's American citizens that are on welfare. Chief was telling me the number of months that I was alarmed. He said, look at you. So you think they pay for life? They pay you for a few months. After that, you better find a job. Otherwise, you will literally find yourself on the street. They will kick you out of the house you are living in. Please, I hope you're following what I'm explaining. That is, look, desires come from places. A lot of people are desiring things that won't bless them. When James and John went to Jesus and said, grant that we will sit on your left and on your right. You know what they were thinking? They thought these were positions of enjoyment. These were positions in which this Peter, he thinks he's the strongest. Wait now, when I'm on the left and on the right, where go there? Go there third place. Then I will show Peter I'm the leader. Peter, come here. Don't minister to that man. Minister to the other one. That's what they were thinking. That's why Jesus looked at them and said, you don't know what you are asking for. For me, that's been one of the most instructive scriptures I have read. That it's possible to want something you don't even know what it is you are looking for. That's why you have to explain to them that it's a place of service, it's not a place of enjoyment. Let me prove it to you. For you to get there, God has to be sure that you are ready to serve. So are you willing to drink the cup I'm about to drink and pass through what I'm about to pass through? Like I always say, foolish men. They should have said, explain further. What are you about to drink and what are you about to pass through? Now, I'm talking about desires. But what motivated their own desires? You know what it was? It was the rulers of the Gentiles. You know that was the issue. The rulers of the Gentiles. Because Jesus answered that when the argument was coming up amongst them, he said, look, the rulers of the Gentiles, all right, they lord it over their subjects. You know, because the people, they wanted to be the leaders, the apostles of Jesus. Who will be the greatest? Who will be the greatest? Because their own image was the image of Herod. Their own image was the image of the Romans. But Jesus had to tell them that, no, that's what the Gentiles are like. He said, but you, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, let him be the one that's most ready to serve. That is, your desire will change when you know what it means to be the leader. You know, American president is a very powerful person. One day somebody was saying, I don't know where I heard this, that a man said to his son, oh, that's the American president, Barack Obama. He said, the man must be very rich. Oh. He said, you see, is you know, the rulers of Nigeria chop a lot of money. So the young man, he was thinking. One day I was watching on CNN and they explained that Barack Obama pays for the food they cook for him in the White House. I didn't believe it was possible. Those suits he wears, he pays for them. He has a salary as president. And they expect that to cover his food, his raiment. Believe me, most Nigerians don't want to be American president. It would be okay to be a Nigerian president with them. But to be an American president, no. What do you mean? So say you are in trouble for helping somebody get the job. Influence peddling. It's an interesting thing. Every gift you get in government must be deposited in a particular place. You can give the American president anything. He will take it. Except that once he gets back home, they take it from him, put it in the museum. They can auction it later to raise money for the American government, but the guy is not going home with it. Now, go and ask most members of PDP. They don't want to be American president. What kind of nonsense presidency is that one? Jimmy Carter was a multi-millionaire when he entered office. When he left, they put all his assets together. He had less than $1 million. That's what it means to be an American president. You better start writing book when you leave office. Start going around. The good thing is that you can start giving lecture after. Your lecture can be $10,000 an hour. Uh-huh. But while you're in office, oh boy, you look, it's a scriptural commandment. You are not allowed to amass riches while in office. And Americans watch you closely. Now, what am I going to explain? Desires are generated by images. You want to be governor, a lot of us, because we like the siren that clears the road. Most of us think that being a governor is just about, I'm a big guy. Can I work contract to my friends our time? I know I will lose a lot of friends if I become a governor. Because from the beginning, I'll make it clear. The job you were not doing before I became governor, you won't start doing it now. And it's true. The one you were doing before that you showed me you could do very well. I cannot, because I have so much trust in you, I cannot give it to you now because my heart trusts that you will deliver.
But if before I became governor, I had discovered that if they give you 200 naira to do the job, the job will be worth 80 naira by the time you finish. He that is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. The 200 million naira contract, nobody may go sign up. Because I know, say, if they give you, we'll get only 80 million worth of value. Forget it.